What's up, junkies? Welcome back in for another edition of Pigskin Junkies. Myself, Michael Larson, Scott Panza, and now returning guest, Chris Thurston from It is from Die Hard's Radio, Wednesday nights, 8 to 10. Chris, it's been a minute since we've seen you. I think that was like 2 weeks or 3 weeks left in the season.
Yeah, week 15, I think. Yeah, right around there, December 12th.
Yeah, crazy. Time has flown. Obviously, holidays and everything. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, whatever holiday it is you're celebrating around that time of year. So how do we finish with the season? I know everyone was kind of – sadly, the Pats fizzled out down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough year for the Pats, obviously. You know, I was hoping that they'd make a little push there towards the end, but no dice. I mean, you can't complain too much after the last, 20 years that us fans have had. But it's been a good NFL season overall. Didn't fare too well in the contest, but had a great ending to the NFL season, and wild card weekend was really good to me. I ended up going 6-0 in wild card weekend, then nice. Capped it off with Bama in the championship. So I was hot going into last weekend, and scared of a little regression there, and ended up happening divisional weekend. I went 1-3 last weekend, so I've been getting some hate mail on Twitter from the show. But hopefully, I like the games this weekend, so looking to get back on track. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's been literally almost my entire existence. It's crazy when they show the AFC standings, and it's you see like one Dolphins in there, and then Bills this year, and that's like literally been it for 20 years. It's disgusting.
I don't like giving it up, but unfortunately we had to this year. Hopefully on to bigger and better next year.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed.
You know, there is a quarterback I hear who's out there looking for a new place to play.
No, don't even get my hopes up. We don't have the draft capital to get him, unfortunately. But I think he'd make all of our receivers. I think he'd make N'Keal Harry way better. N'Keal Harry's out of the NFL in 2 years. I have a feel sorry for me, but a disaster story from last weekend. I'm in a DFS contest, single entry. My quarterback is Baker Mayfield. My punt wide receiver is Rashard Higgins. If that Mayfield to Higgins is not a turnover through the end zone, but a touchdown, it's a 17K swing for me in this contest. So it was a pretty tilting way to end that game, especially I had a prop on Baker Mayfield over 1.5 touchdown passes. So it goes under because of that. The Kareem Hunt prop was dead from the beginning, but generally, my massive weekend, 3-1, had a great prop day on Saturday, went 5-0 on them. But all I've heard all week is, why'd you bet against Tom Brady? You would have had a great weekend if you, unbelievable weekend if you just didn't bet against Tom Brady. And I bet on Wash, Drew Brees, and frankly, they had the game in their hands and they turned the game over.
Yes.
So I don't feel too bad about it, actually. I think, they were stuffing the Bucs offense for most of the game. If they didn't give them a good field position, it would have been a different game, but it wasn't. And now we get Tom Brady back in the conference championship, which is just what a wild ride he's on. Was it 14 of 19 years in conference championships?
Yeah.
No, I think it's is it 15, I think, right? I think 14 with the Pats and one this year. I could be wrong. You could be right, though. 14, 15, it's insane. Yeah.
Still the craziest stat out there, I think, has to be that Tom Brady has a higher percentage of making the Super Bowl than Steph Curry does of making a three-pointer.
I mean,
that's wild.
Yeah. Like, I mean, arguably the best three-point shooter of all time, and he's going to go to a Super Bowl, and I'm out here still holding on to 2009, like when I'm watching the Saints play, like, suck it, like... I'm like, we should have won the Super Bowl in 2009 as a Vikings fan. So I still hold on to that. And meanwhile, Tom's like, well, yeah, it's just another football game. Who cares?
Ho-hum, ho-hum.
Yeah.
Good for him. He deserves it.
Yeah.
I just wish it didn't bet against them the last week, but what are you going to do?
How about?
I'm glad to hear we're on the same page. I went against Brady as well. I had the Saints as my best bet last weekend as well. And I had to hear it from everybody up here, personal friends, radio, all this. How can you bet against Brady? All this. I mean, I can't even think of it. If Cook doesn't drop that ball, I mean, the game's over. The game's over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. How about the end of that Chiefs game?
Disaster game.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, Browns, kicking's for losers. Shouldn't have punted in the first place, but they did. Very too conservative play calling, but, you know, tip your cap to Chad Henne and pour one out because he's living his dream. He's just continuing to get paid. He's going to be getting, what's the quarterback in Detroit who just keeps getting paid?
Chad Stafford. Well, Daniels is the backup, isn't he?
Chase Daniel. He's getting Chase Daniel money.
Chad Henne
after this. Chad Henne, he's got to be on pension at this point. Oh, easily. Definitely. He's 36.
Yeah, he's old.
Yeah.
Big money maker this past weekend for the big guy. Good for him.
That was payback for that App State game all those years ago. I mean, that was unbelievable. The man was just like, I am getting this first down. Tuck it and go. And then I thought for sure he had it. And then unreal spot by the official because the ball was tucked by Henny's body for him to go, no, ball was right here. And it was spot on. And I can't believe I lost my mind when he snapped the ball. I'm like, what is he doing? Like, there's no way they're actually running a play right now.
How about Romo? He's going, there's no play. No chance he's going to do it. Look at the body language. 2 seconds later, he snaps the ball. I'm like, yeah, thanks, Romo. You can't predict the future anymore, buddy.
And he was screaming.
He's lost some luster this year, I think, unfortunately.
Right.
Oh, so funny, though. I could listen, Romo, ooh, ah, ooh. And then Jim will be like, here we go, Tony. And he's like, here we go, Jim. It's just like the most, like two kids at the front of a roller coaster, just juiced to see what happens next. Those two, I could listen to them all day. So Lamar goes out, Bills take care of business. That truthfully was like the only game this weekend I didn't watch, if I'm being totally honest.
You didn't miss much. There wasn't a lot of action in that one.
Yeah.
It's a pretty disappointing performance. And, you know, disappointing for Lamar to look just so shaky and then also get banged up in that game. So it wasn't the point fest a lot of people were expecting. Mm-hmm. Just smashing the under in that one. Smashing it.
Destroyed.
Yeah.
I think it went close at 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So T's and P's if you had those guys in. Your DFS contest last weekend too, because they torched the money on fire for you.
This is true. And then it was a lot of 3-1 for the under over the weekend, and then Packers really just, I feel like, took it to them, and then that was it.
Never in doubt. Jared Goff looked just horrid, and it seems like McVay is falling out of love with Jared Goff. So maybe there's some movement there. Unfortunately, he's got a massive contract, so I don't know how you eat that.
Right.
Same thing with Carson Wentz. There's a lot of talk that they're going to trade him, but I don't see it happening with how much dead cap they'll have as a result. And as well, it seems like they're making amends with Carson Wentz by getting rid of Peterson, and unfortunately probably giving a little too much power to the players by saying, hey, you don't like the coach, you can get him out of town. Probably not the best look.
Right. In the city of Philly, where you can give people power, and then, wait—they're listening to me. God, everyone, God. You know, what's crazy stat too? What is it? No one's ever coached three straight games outside or three state, gone to three straight championship game conference championships, except for the big Kool-Aid man Andy Reid, and he's done it twice. Like no one's ever done it. Reed's gone with the Eagles three times and went to a Super Bowl. So are we going to get history repeating itself here? Because what, he was 1-2?
1-2,
NFC Championship games? But the third one was the last one he actually went, if I do remember, with T.O., correct? I think, and then like after that, they just kind of, T.O. was saying, trying to dust off my memories of the 04, 05 Eagles or whatever year that was.
Okay. Way back.
Way back.
A while ago. Yeah.
So, fellas, do we want to dive into conference championship weekend?
Oh, yeah.
That's sad, isn't it?
I know.
Just savor it. We were talking before the pod. You know, I don't know what we're going to do after football's over. It takes up so much of my time. Actually, I could use some book requests because I'm not going to be spending so much time listening to podcasts and football stuff on the way home from work.
Right, DFS,
exactly. Yeah. It's a full-time gig away from the real job. So
it really is.
So if someone has some book requests, hit me up.
Some self-improvement books. That's so great. Well, do we want to start NFC? We want to start AFC. Which is the one you want? You guys feel like you got the most juice on? We'll save it for last.
Let's go in order.
Yeah, let's go with
the Sunday kick, the 305, Mr. 305, and that is the NFC, and that will be aforementioned Thomas Brady traveling to the wonderful cold palace that is Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. 12-12, Brady Rodgers. Rodgers most likely MVP. Tom Brady says he don't care about that shit. All he plays this game for is for Lombardis. And he's going to try and get to his, what, like 7,500th in the house that Lombardi built.
This would be the ninth.
Yeah. It's unreal. Well, what are we thinking? The Bucks are +3.5.
So, you know, I see it's oscillating between 3.5 and 3, but if you get it at 3, you're laying like 125 or 120 juice. So, I'm on the Packers -3.5. I'm on the Packers -3, but I want to hold off on booking it because I don't want to pay that juice. So it's robbery. Third straight road game for the Bucks. You know, that tends to wear on the team. They're going to a very difficult place to play. But the story of it is Aaron Rodgers and his offense against the best defense in the league absolutely torched them. They could not stop them last week. Now, I think people are overreacting to the Bucs' defensive performance last week because Drew Brees, as you saw, completely washed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they made their defense looked really good, but it's because the Brees and the Saints offense just looked like trash. And, you know, they were easily able to tell what they were going to do on offense. But Aaron Rodgers, this is a different story. They do not have a corner that's going to be able to shut down Davante Adams. Now they're getting production out of Alan Lazard and MVS, not to mention my man, Big Bob Tonyan. They're not going to try to run the ball because they're not going to be able to run the ball on this Bucs defense. So they're just going to pass it all game. It's going to be another massive game for Davante Adams, another massive game for the wideouts of the Packers. I think that the Packers roll by 10. Packers, Wonka Vader, back to it this weekend against the Bucs. And I hate to bet against Brady, but you got to be realistic. This is a Packers game.
I thought we were going to be on opposite sides of the game here, so I'm excited to hear that you're on the pack as well. I am too. I've laid 3.5 at 100. I've laid 3 at -125. This is the most important game of Aaron Rodgers' life. I mean, this is his chance to have the seat at the table as one of the best ever. It's almost like the NFL set these matches up, right? Like, you know, Brady versus Rodgers, Mahomes, and I mean, Allen up and coming, but still. And then whoever wins these games, you have great quarterbacks playing each other again in the Super Bowl. What has Rodgers always said? He's never had a shot at a home NFC championship game. What do you have now, man? I mean, this is your chance. You got it versus the best ever, right? I mean, we were just kind of touched upon it. Should the Bucks even be here? In my opinion, no. Look at last week's game. I mean, Brady didn't even – everybody's chirping me. How do you bet against Brady, this and that? Brady didn't even play that great last weekend. He just didn't make any mistakes. I think he was like 17 for 32 for like a $1.99, something like that. He gets a couple of turnovers and some calls go their way. If Brady's not starting past the 30 or 40 yard line of their own end, like he's in some serious trouble. And I think he's not going to be able to get those. The Packers aren't going to turn the ball over like the Saints did. I mean, Breeze shouldn't even been playing that game. If he cared so much, he would have went up to Peyton and said, listen, take me out. You have a better shot with Winston to win the game. I mean, I'm a little sour about it, but both teams are on hot streaks. I think both have won 7 in a row. The books have a huge liability on the Bucks to win it all from when they landed Brady. Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting stat for you. Conference title games, besides the road sweep 2 years ago, home teams have won every game outright since 2013. On top of that, the Faves are 10-0 against the spread during that seven-year stretch. I really like how the Bucks got blown out by, or I really like how the Packers got blown out this year by the Bucks already. I think LaFleur and Rodgers are two of the best at scheming to make sure that doesn't happen again. This game sets up perfect for Rodgers, you know, home NFC championship game in the snow. Like, it's just, it's perfect for him. This is a must-win game. And I thought you made a great point, Scott. Lazard, it's not just Adams. I mean, Lazard stepped up to the plate, taunting the tight end. You're right, they're not going to run the ball. The only thing that scares me, that if the Packers get down early, which I don't think they will, Rodgers has a really, really tough time, you know, clawing back in the game. He tends to give up a little bit and, you know, pounce and cries, but I like the Pack a lot in this spot. It kills me to have to bet against Brady once again, and I hope it doesn't come back and bite me in the ass like it did last week, but I like betting numbers and not teams, and this is this is the spot right here. Go Pack, go.
Yeah, it's I will definitely I agree with you both. I think the Pack is a smart bet here. And I love the mention, too, of Rodgers running his mouth all this time saying, well, just give me a home NFC championship game. That's all I want, blah, blah, blah. Here it is. Like, silver platter, like you said, this is your chance. Tom Brady is thinking coming to town. They should have beat Tampa earlier in the season, and I think there were, like, two weird turnovers, and they gave the Bucks short field, and then all of a sudden it was like the Hoover Dam blew and everything went the Bucks' way after that. I was like falling. I remember it because I was falling asleep on the couch like, oh, Packers look like they're about to blow this one open. Bucks, another underwhelming performance. And then all of a sudden it was like, touchdown Buccaneers. Whoa, what's just happened?
I remember betting the Bucks in this game too. Mm-hmm. I was very thrilled with the outcome.
So really,
they were, you know, the Bucks were getting three at home in that one. Now they're getting three on the road late season. I think it's a little bit. I think a lot of public money coming in on the Golden Boy, and
for
why
sure.
not? But
mm-hmm. I'm seeing
not the best spot
on the spread right now. Bucks are getting 41% of the bets and 43% of the money. So Packers almost 60% of the bet percentage and almost 60% of the money, which is about to be expected. Now, what do you guys think about, I'm seeing a lot of people playing the under in this one, which I'm showing under 51.5. What are your thoughts on that one? You guys going to dabble in the under or just stay away?
I won't be personally playing the side at all. I didn't really dive into that one bit. I'm more on the side here with the Pack. I don't know about you, Scott.
I think there's a lot of momentum on unders right now. I actually think it's a good play here, but I probably won't. I focus on betting the teams. I don't focus on betting over unders. I'm typically not great at it. So I think under has value because unders have been coming in and playoff football. A lot of times teams just tighten up quite a bit and a lot more deliberate football. But I'll probably just have a little taste on this one, this under.
So when it's all said and done, Packers are packing their bags and going down to old Tampa Bay, huh? To play at old Raymond James.
Yeah, I do. I heard an interesting take on Boston Radio this week. I wanted to see what you guys thought on this. So they were saying that Brady, and obviously this is Boston Sports Radio. So they're saying that Brady, you know, he's obviously used to playing in the cold and played in snowstorms, which is obviously true. He's been there before in this situation. So they're saying that he's going to have the Bucks players all ready to go and how to keep warm and what they need to do and prepare them to play in the weather. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, I guess, but is there really an advantage? I don't know.
How do you prep someone for playing in the cold? It's,
right.
It's whether you're used to it or not. Like, you can't get ready for it. So I think it's a little crazy.
They were saying there's no advantage for for the Packers, I'm like, no, there's definitely an advantage for the Packers playing in the snow. Like, they live and die in this stuff. Like,
they're outside in the cold right now.
Right.
The Bucks guys are out in 90-degree weather.
Right.
You know,
whoa. It's a nice 68 degrees down here now, okay? Right. So, it's not that hot. There's just something majestic, though. I want the amount of snow from where the legend of Tom Brady began. I want Raiders, Patriots level snow at Lambeau Field. That's what I want. That's what I want this Sunday.
I love it. I think that'd be awesome.
I feel like it's poetry in motion.
For sure.
Good quote.
Thank you.
I know what you did there.
So a lot of questions circling this game, obviously, with my homie Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs concussion protocol. Worst take of the week I heard, and normally I enjoy listening to him for his business takes on sports. Colin Cowherd saying that the NFL should just play this game whenever it is that Patrick Mahomes clears concussion protocol. So if he doesn't clear until Tuesday, then that's when we're playing the game. I think that's a load of garbage. But anywho, Chiefs are -3 against the Buffalo Bills.
After you, Chris, you're the guest.
So I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was weird. After the Chiefs-Browns game this past Sunday, obviously they started opening up the lines. And Circa opened this line, Bills -1. Did you see that?
I did see that.
So Circa opens the line -1. Westgate opens the line Chiefs -2, which where it should have been, you know, what is what I think. And then all of a sudden, so I have a friend out in Vegas with a Circa account. So I'm like, hey, hit me with the Chiefs. Like, they're -1 on Circa. And he's like, all right, he goes to put it in. It clicks to -1.5. It clicks to Chiefs -1. Then he goes to put it in again. Have to redo it. -1.5. Doesn't get me in until Chiefs. He got me in at Chiefs -2, -110. And then all of a sudden, you know what happens. It goes to Chiefs -3, you know, everywhere in the world. But I thought that was pretty interesting to see that Circa opens it up as Bills -1.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest. Mahomes is going to play on Sunday. There's no chance he misses this game. He's going to be ready to go. I mean, it's all. I don't even know why they're. It's just all talk in the media and something to talk about leading up to the game. He's playing. He's going to go, and he's the best player in the NFL. He did get hit hard on Sunday, and that was the first real big hit you've seen Mahomes take since he's been in the NFL, right? Let's face it. I mean, I know you were on the Bills last weekend. They didn't play well. If you told me that the Bills were going to score 17 points last weekend and win that game, I would have said no chance. The Ravens played awful. Lamar doesn't show up again. They can't get in the end zone. He ends up getting hurt. They're 7 yards away from tying the game in the third quarter. Let's not forget about the week before that. The Colts outplay the Bills all game. Philip Rivers shockingly actually shows up, played a good game, throwing good balls. Wide receivers for the Colts don't show up, can't make a catch. They shredded that defense, that Bills defense. What is that Chiefs offense going to do to that Bills D? I like Chiefs in this spot. I think it's a really buy low spot for the Chiefs. When's the last time you were able to get the Chiefs -2, -2.5, -3 at home in an AFC championship game? Josh Allen has proved to be the real deal. But now he's got to go in the Arrowhead for the AFC Championship. We'll see how good he really is. I was one of those guys that said all year, you know, he's not good. You know, I bet against him almost every single game this year. And what, the Bills are 9-1 against the spread in their last 10. The Chiefs haven't covered a game since November, I think, versus your brother's Jets. Chiefs have been my number one team in power ratings all year long. They might get Edwards-Helaire back, give them a little boost. They're better coached. It's the home team. I know it's probably a square pick, but I do think there's going to be a lot of public action on the Bills. if I hear somebody tell me, I got a lot of tweets last week because I was on the Ravens, bet the Bills and pay your bills. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to freaking snap. But it's not. It's very rare that I'm on both favorites in a weekend. I usually play numbers, and it just so happens my numbers like the favorites this weekend. So I'll be on the Chiefs, and I'll be on the Packers.
So this is a very interesting line because, like you said, it opened Chiefs getting points and quickly snapped all the way back to Chiefs laying three, which I think is the right number. What's interesting is from what I remember this year, guys that hit concussion protocol were always missing the next game. So I actually think that the NFL is in a position what they should be doing. I love Patrick Mahomes, but it sends a very good message that they're taking concussion protocol seriously if they hold him back out of the game. But there's a 0% chance they'll be doing that. Having said all that, I think that the Chiefs are limping into this game. I don't think the offense was looking just flush against the Browns last week. I think the Bills are rolling. Bills winning this game on Sunday, going to the Super Bowl. I'm going back on what I thought going into the playoffs at the Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. I think that the Bills should be carving up this Chiefs defense. The wild card, though, is obviously Tyrann Mathieu. He's the honey badger, is just all over the field. You saw that pick that he had last week against Baker Mayfield, just read his eyes. He's fantastic. I think that the Bills can take a lot back with them of what they learned in the first game this the first time they played this year at home. A clinic was shown to them by the Chiefs. I think that they go back, they learn a lot from that game. I think they're going to shock the Chiefs, who I honestly think with the foot and the concussion that Mahomes will not be as sharp as he should be, missing a lot of practice time at a time of the year when he hasn't really been playing either. I think it will take a toll. 1-9, their last 10 against the spread, they just haven't been sharp. They've been fortunate to win some of these football games. I think the Bills are coming in rolling. They've been at home for the last 2 weeks. They go on the road. They shock the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm on the Bills plus +3. I'm on the Bills money line. But what I will say is a little bit more risk off earlier in the week, because I do think once Mahomes gets cleared and he plays, that the line's going to snap to like -4, not -5, and you'll be able to get better numbers and better money line. But in the off chance that the NFL does make a statement and hold him back out of this game, the Bills are going to be laying 3. So I think there's going to be a lot of action on Sunday. I think there's going to be a lot of value on Sunday if you like the Bills. So when it does snap, when they do clear Mahomes and the spread goes up to 4.5, 5, I will be laying some wood on the Bills on Sunday. And I'd love to see a Bills-Packers Super Bowl, although I'm sure the NFL does not want to see that.
Right? Yeah, small market.
Chiefs, and it doesn't matter who they play, will just generate massive ratings. So,
right.
It would be really fun to have Bucks Bills, because then it could be Tom Brady going up against his old foe in the AFC East.
No.
But I think we'll have Bills Packers Super Bowl, was it 54?
Yeah. Wow.
I'll be a young whippersnapper here and say I was watching TikTok the other day and was going through my feed, and there's a video and it's a guy in a Bills shirt. He's like, "This is it, baby." He's like, "We're in the playoffs." And, you know, he wins game one. He's like, "All right." And then a Bucks fan shows, you know, a Bucks fan shows up pretending to be Tom Brady. And he goes, "No." He's like, "You're on the other side." He's like, "I don't have to worry about you anymore." And then, you know, he wins game one. He goes, that was, you know, it was the stinking Washington football team. Who cares? You know, it's not a big deal. And he's like, "You got the Saints this week. You'll lose to Drew Brees. It's fine." And then, you know, shows the score of the game, and he starts sweating. He's like, "Dadgummit." He's like, "Please don't do this to us." He's like, "Come on. You've had it for 19 years. Like, let me have it." And it's so true. If I was a Bills fan and I was watching the NFC Championship game before the AFC, and I see Bucks win it and Tom Brady holding up a trophy talking about going to the Super Bowl, I would just be like, "You know what? I don't even care if we lose at this point. I don't want to play Tom Brady. I can't do it anymore." I would be so pissed off. Oh my gosh. They would have to put up a trophy of Tom Brady in Buffalo. Like, because the guy owns the city. It's disgusting. I'm excited for this one. I think there's a lot of fun football that's going to be played in this one. Defensively, I think the matchups are going to be very interesting. Do you have a healthy Mahomes? I thought the Chiefs defense did a pretty good job of keeping Baker relatively in the pocket and forcing him to be a pocket passer with Josh Allen. I mean, he's got what, better rushing yards and rushing stats than Lamar Jackson since coming into the league. So you kind of got to take that to an account. And it's just, there's so many things. It's young, exciting quarterbacks. It's two franchises that have really come on and built these franchises from the ground up. I mean, you think, how far back was it? Matt Cassel was out there supposed to be the future of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with Romeo Crennel, and it's just crazy. And they've built this team, and we've watched the Bills. Now, I will say, Chris, you hurt my feelings a little bit, and a lot of people on the podcast. This is a big Circle the Wagon podcast, and you came out here and just said you bet against them all year.
You're killing me. Yeah, that'd be good for you. It wasn't good. It wasn't good.
I think they're 12-6 against the spread this year.
Yeah, and I'll admit when I was wrong. I mean, yeah, you guys. I know you've been on. You guys have been on them almost all year. So great call on that. I was off.
It was. It's been a. It's been like a 3-year climb. Yeah.
Yeah, 2-3-year climb here.
Now it's been fun. Yeah. Now it's getting to the point where it's such a hot commodity. It's almost like we're like, dang it. Well, now what do we do? Because that was our staple. That was our thing. And now the wagon's full. And
let me ask you guys this. Who do you guys think, what quarterback is under the most pressure to win this this weekend?
Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
He needs to add to that trophy case. You know, Mahomes too young to have pressure so far. He's far exceeded expectations. Josh Allen, happy to be here. He's far exceeding expectations this year. Tom Brady, what left does he have to prove? So it's all about Rodgers.
Sure, I completely agree. Mike, are you the same?
Yeah, I think Rodgers definitely, you know, he's still got, I don't think he's nipping at his ankles at all, but, you know, you get to a position like this and then, you know, all year everyone's been like, yeah, we should have gotten them receivers. We didn't need to draft Love at quarterback. And then you come out and you lose a game like this. I feel like a lot of people – then everyone starts talking again. Well, maybe it's a time that we move on from Rodgers. I mean, we got him in the NFC Championship game and this, that, and the other thing. And now what do we do? They'd be stupid, but in the Midwest, you know, you get – the snow starts coming down. You don't see the sun for a while and – you kind of start saying crazy things, and I think that's a possibility. But yeah, I think Mahomes won his Super Bowl last year. The only thing that Brady, I think Brady would be second on my list, and it's only for the Belichick versus Brady people. If Tom wins a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick, then that's a huge. I feel like that's like the last. Whatever word I'm looking for, that's, you know, the only argument that people have against Tom Brady is, well, he had the greatest coach of all time. It's like, well, I just won one without Bill Belichick. So I feel like that's kind of the last pillar that stands in the way of Tom's unarguable greatness.
The Brady versus Belichick argument is so silly. What would the Bucs record be if Bill Belichick was their coach versus Bruce Arians?
Yeah, like, come on. Good point.
They would have been winning that division. So it's just it's such a silly argument.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Great take there.
Yeah, I agree. So Rodgers 1, Brady 2, and then the young guns. I mean, I guess you put Josh Allen 3 because he doesn't have a Super Bowl last year. And then Mahomes.
I think Mahomes, because you can't lose to Josh Allen in the playoffs. That's true. He's so great.
I guess that's true. I guess that's fair.
What do you guys think about this? So I started thinking about – I was talking to my buddy the other day about this. I think it would be really bad for Allen's career if he wins, right? He beats Mahomes and the Chiefs, and then he goes to the Super Bowl and loses. I think that screws him up a lot. Do you guys agree?
I wouldn't. And then
I don't know. I don't know. That's tough.
Tough question and tough prediction to make, you know what I mean? But – I don't know. I think he's better off if he has to lose one of the games. He's better off losing this one than losing the big one so early in his career.
Guess that's true. I mean, it would be so hard to go back to Buffalo, and then all the fans are like, "Shut up, my God!" Like,
right?
Five times, yeah. You know, and he just it'd be so terrible.
Those fans killing themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's what I didn't say earlier, but how about Brian Daboll not getting some of these head coaching jobs? So do we see a little FU game from Brian Daboll on Sunday with his offense, like telling all these guys who, like specifically the Chargers who went ahead and hired Brandon Staley over him, you know, like FU, how would you hire this clown over me? But I don't know.
Yeah, good point.
Put that in my back pocket if the Bills go out and torch that defense.
Do you want the Chargers job? Do you want to be in that division?
Yeah. I mean, he has Justin Herbert.
There's so much talent there. There's so much talent.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
But I just feel like you're fighting Mahomes. I mean, that's like being like, yeah, the Bills was a tempting job because you had Drew Bledsoe when, you know, Tom Brady was just coming onto the scene, but you had to deal with Tom Brady. I mean, I guess Bledsoe was kind of at the twilight, though, versus Herbert being very much at the beginning. But I don't know. And don't forget Drew Lock, guys, up there at Mile High.
Oh, God.
Slinging it around.
Horrible.
Jesus.
I don't even think he can stay on as a backup because he's just too loud.
Oh, the Broncos, man. What a dumpster fire.
The Raiders aren't too far behind.
No, they are not.
The Chiefs are going to have what you guys had just 20 years from now.
Right.
Some Chargers sprinkled in. Well, fellas, so it sounds like we're all thinking it is going to be, well, except for not all of us. So, Chris, you got Chiefs, Packers, Super Bowl. And Scott, you got Packers, Bills, Super Bowl.
Packers, Bills.
All right.
Josh Allen versus Aaron Rodgers, as everyone drew it up going into the year.
Mm-hmm. My bigger bet will be on Green Bay, so obviously not as confident on KC. So we're spot on with that one for sure.
So it sounds like the Bucs are going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yep, from the two biggest Pats fans in the world, betting against Brady. Sounds about right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, did you get informed of who the actor of the week is?
I did.
How do we do? Would you like the honors again of being first with old Russell Crowe?
Absolutely. I went with Cinderella Man as one. Ooh. Just because I thought it was just too easy to put Gladiator at one. And Cinderella Man, I mean, I'm a sports guy, and there's no better story than a rags-to-riches guy as an underdog boxer, you know, American worker just trying to survive, support his family. It's just the absolute American dream. That movie was awesome. And, that's my number one for sure.
All right. Scott, let's hear your number one.
He alluded to it, but Gladiator, tough to get away from that one. Maximus Decimus Aurelius, I mean, just classic movie. Personal story, I used to watch that movie, all the fight scenes before big baseball games in high school. Not that it really mattered because I was wildly mediocre, but still did it.
Scott standing. What position did you play, Scott?
I was a pitcher.
Love it. You should just stand on the mound, third strike, and just, are you not entertained? Just walk into the dugout. I can see it.
I bet you threw gas, Micah. I saw it.
I was just a hothead, man.
See, you guys are lucky. You grew up in the age, like, your high school film was sent to, like, you know, if you had a film and anything, it was made at home and sent out. I was, like, the beginning of the YouTube phase and, like, the huddle. So, like, I have my film on the internet, and I just...
Oh, wow. Like, I can go YouTube it?
You could YouTube me. And it's so frustrating because I'm like, no! But the school posted it, so I can't delete it, so it's just there. Forever.
I'm taking that to Google later.
Yeah. So I got a funny Russell Crowe story. So my mother and father, when they purchased the house that they now live in, I should say the lot, there was a old pink house. An old woman used to live there. And when we had purchased a home from their children, and we were going in to kind of clean some stuff out and collect it for them because they didn't live here. And I walk into this house, and I'm like, what in the world? And like paper mache throughout the whole house is magazine clippings, newspaper clippings, anything Russell Crowe, and just plastered on the wall. This lady was infatuated with him. So there was like a gladiator wall, like Cinderella Man, all these pictures of Russell Crowe. I'm like, it was terrifying. It was like a serial killer type home. You're just like, the level of obsession here is a little high. My number one as well is going to be Gladiator. I just, that's one of those films that you, it's always on somewhere on Sunday afternoon, like TNT, AMC, I don't know, just somewhere. And if it's on, it's on the TV. Like there's no, and it'll, and because it's what, like a 4-hour movie with commercials, it goes from like noon to nine. And I'm like, all right, it's time to go to bed. Gladiator is the best. Chris, what's your number two?
Yeah. So obviously Gladiator is my number two. I mean, it literally turned him into an international superstar overnight, right? Was back in 2000.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, fighting to survive, to only get, you know, revenge over the man who killed the, his wife and child. There's nothing better. I mean, than him standing in the Colosseum and he gives the "My name is Maximus" speech. I mean, you're like crying at the same, your heart's pounding every single time, no matter how many times you see it. It's nuts.
It is. It's so good.
It's so good. Like goosebumps when you hear that scene.
Sure.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if this is cheating, but I don't think it is. But number two, American Gangster.
Dang it.
Now, Denzel is the lead, but Russell's right up there in the lead. They share that movie, and it's freaking fantastic. They both crush it. So, American Gangster, if you haven't seen it, phenomenal 2007. Russell Crowe, Richie Roberts, who plays a two straight cop, fantastic.
Man, you took it right from underneath me, Scott. So I feel like I'm reeling now. I'm having to find. I'm trying to replace it.
No, come on. I don't want to ruin it for you, Mike.
All right, I'm American Gangster as well. I was gonna say like the exact same thing. Like, you know, Denzel like is so great in the movie, but I feel like Russell does just as good, like a very good job as well, and doesn't get completely overshadowed. Like, you still know, to me, a sign of like, I mean, what Denzel, I think he won some Academy Award or something for that movie, I think.
I think so.
Or was nominated or anything. But you know, when you have a guy who gets nominated, or it's one of those movies like with Denzel, you just go, dude, that's like one of his best movies. And to then, which Denzel is on just such a high level, it's insane. But to then go, oh yeah, Russell Crowe's in that movie and he does a very good job as well. I couldn't name anyone else in the film. Scott is obviously better than I am at that. But to me, that's kind of how I judged it in my brain of justifying, because yes, Denzel's movie, but Russell was right there.
Man, we're all on the same page. I have American Gangster down as number three too. And I mean, the same reasoning. I mean, it's awesome having Denzel in it. Obviously, he was the main role, but yeah, Crow's right behind them. And the game of cat and mouse that Russell and Denzel play, it's just, the movie's totally epic. If you haven't seen it, you got to. One of the biggest drug smugglers ever, and he takes them down. Yeah, and I agree with your comment. Way too straight of a cop.
Yeah, way too straight.
I love it.
So my third, it's really tough. The reason why we're having this conversation is someone tweeted about how Master and Commander is too boring of a movie and it puts him to sleep, and Russell Crowe tweeted back at him. So Master and Commander, number three, so close though, right behind it, Mystery Alaska.
Yes, Scott.
I almost put that on there.
It is now 1999, old movie. They play hockey up in Alaska in this random town called Mystery. Fantastic. You gotta find it. It's sometimes on Stars, but Master and Commander is just a terrific movie about a boat captain and his crew. It's phenomenal, and the ending of that movie really great. So Master and Commander right behind it, Mystery Alaska, gotta see it.
If you have NHL Network, kind of like Golf Channel, where like they play million whatever it was, like the greatest game ever played, and like these golf movies that you normally would never watch ever.
Yeah.
Mystery Alaska, I feel like it comes on there sometimes, but I think NBCSN will sprinkle it in there. Just a little bit to, you know, hey, here's a hockey movie out here that's not named Miracle if you want to watch it. Third for me, because I do love me some Westerns, but I feel like I get in that same battle of, well, is it Bale? Is it Crow? Who is it? 310 to Yuma. I really like that one. And then I'm actually going to honorable mention him because I feel like he's not really, like, there's so many main roles in this, but I actually really thought he did a good job in Les Mis, the movie. I did a good job. I know you probably didn't see it, Scott, and I know I probably lost some points. But still, I thought he did a very good job. Now, hearing Russell sing made me a little uncomfortable, but it's kind of that general role, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I like watching him try and be like, I'm going to crush a rebellion. This is awesome. So, but yes, 310 to Yuma is phenomenal.
One day.
That's great.
Oh, fellas. Well, that was awesome. That's pretty spot on, but then once you get to three, it's an open debate. I like
He's
it.
Got some other ones that are really good. You know, he made Proof of Life right after Gladiator. Did terrible at the box office, but I thought it was awesome. The Insider right before Gladiator, also very good. Some of his later stuff I haven't been watching as much.
Beautiful Mind.
Missed that one day.
Okay.
Yeah.
One day. I was just actually going to confess I hadn't seen Nice Guys. I was interested to see how him and Gosling would get along. I feel like that's an interesting pairing.
I missed that one, too.
Yeah, same.
There we go. No one's... Yeah, definitely none of the new stuff there for
Micah, if I may, just real quickly.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about Dan Campbell getting the Lions job. Yes. Now, I think people are going to pile on, rightfully so, the hiring, because it is going to be a disaster. And this is why there's so many bad franchises in the NFL, because they make terrible hiring decisions, like hiring Dan Campbell. There is a 0% chance he'll be successful in Detroit. It'll be so much fun to bet against them. You know he's going to be punting on 4th-and-1 at the 35. He's, you know, on the other side of the field. There's just no way he's going to be successful. Just listen to his press conference today. He's such a meathead. He does not deserve that job. And that is why in the NFL, there's so many bad franchises, because there's so many teams that would make such a stupid hire. Like keeping Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, no shock. They're terrible every year. Dan Campbell in Detroit obviously will be a failure. It's going to be a disaster. Sorry, you know, just I cannot believe the hire. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Well, couldn't agree more. When I saw that, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That's why there's not many good coaches in the NFL. They all hire on connections and coaching trees. Yep. It's so ridiculous. It's like when the Chargers just interviewed Garrett the other day. When I heard that, I almost drove off the road. Like, what is going on? He signed a 6-year deal. I want to bet the under 3 years that he will be the head coach there. Give me the under six. Give me the under two. Like, oh, it's gonna be so comical.
Can I bet that they will go 0-16 or 1-15 in any season that he coaches? Because that's a guarantee.
Yes.
Here's a question for you guys: Is there a job out there tasty enough for McDaniels to leave the nest this year?
They passed over him on the Eagles today, so all that's left is the Texans, and I think that's juicy, but I don't think he'll be getting that job. No. It would make a little bit of sense to go join Casario, but I don't think that's going to be happening. I mean, it's a really tough job to take right now with Deshaun Watson winding out of town.
I'm with you. I kind of think that he screwed himself when he left the Colts at the altar, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. That was his chance, and there's a lot of NFL teams that saw that, and they're like, you know what? They're a little salty from it, and I don't really blame them. That was his chance to go. I do think he should get another crack at being the NFL coach. I just don't know if it's going to be there. I think he's back being the OC next year with the Pats, to be honest.
I think his next head coaching job will be whenever Belichick retires, he'll go take over. And
agreed.
I think he's stuck in New England for a long time.
Agreed.
Teeth are sunk.
Like tough life. You know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, seriously. Once you get a quarterback.
Yeah, once you get a quarterback.
Those are easy to find, right, Micah?
Yeah. Well, who is your quarterback? Who do you think? I'm going to keep diving into this a little bit.
I think next year it will be Jimmy Garoppolo.
We're on the same page. I think it has to be Garoppolo. I think it's Garoppolo or bust, to be honest with you. You come on back, baby boy. Made a mistake. Like, it wasn't my choice. You know that. Come back. You know the system. We could do this together. I get you some weapons. Let's go.
Daddy still loves you.
Yep. 100%, Scott. I couldn't have said it better myself. Absolutely.
The Pats are going to be in a really good cap position, too, so they're going to be able to make a run at some guys. So I think Garoppolo will be there. I think what they'll also do is they'll draft some quarterback in the second or third round, and he'll be the second coming if he can be good. Cam will be gone. Jarrett Stidham, if he was good, he'd be playing this past year. So.
Right, yeah.
Yep. We're trying to tell you, Scott.
I know.
We tried to tell you.
I was hopeful. I was way too hopeful.
Guy looked like he fit right in that cartoon movie with the Penguins' Happy Feet. I mean, he would have been right there. He's a dancer. He's a beautiful ballet dancer. In there, yeah. Like you said, if he was any good, literally like this year, if you were worth a snuff at all, he would have played.
Correct. Yeah. And sad as it sounds, Cam Newton gave the Patriots the best chance to win every game, and that's why Bill played him. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. Well, awesome, fellas. And yes, Scott, I heard your comment about quarterbacks, and I don't want to talk about it because my whole life I've been thinking about it. I had to grow up with the Packers going Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and at one point I had Brad Johnson at quarterback for like the fifth time in Minnesota. Gus Frerotte. I'm trying to think of other names that came through there. Don't forget Donovan McNabb played there for a season. Thank you for that one, Brad Childress. And then
that's right.
Who else? Oh, yes, we drafted Christian Ponder 12th overall because he had a really good score. but apparently no one remembered to watch actual game footage of his wet noodle. But, hey, he could turn around and hand that ball off to Adrian Peterson and hit Kyle Rudolph on an occasional waggle play. But other than that, we were absolute hot garbage. And the great thing is with the NFL is, you know, if you draft a bad quarterback or kind of draft and miss on a QB, you know, you just – it doesn't take a toll on your franchise. It doesn't set you back 8 to 10 years or anything like that. So
you could have had Andy Dalton, man.
Oh, the Red Rifle.
Red Rider.
Yeah, Red Rider. I like that. Oh, man, that's great. Well, fellas, any other thoughts on hires or anything like that before we wrap it up?
I also think the Brandon Staley hire was a mistake. You know, I talked about Robert Saleh, like all these defensive coaches in an offensive game. I think a lot of mistakes this offseason, a lot of openings will be opening up. And I will go on the record as saying I think that Arthur Smith in Atlanta will be the best out of these hires. When it's all said and done.
Boom.
Yeah, I mean, closing take for me, I'm still bringing up the Saints game. but I don't know if you guys saw it. Brittany Breeze, his wife, comes out and I don't know if she tweets it or Instagrams it or whatever, saying that Breeze played all year long with a torn rotator cuff, you know, a banged up foot, the broken ribs and the collapsed lung, which we knew anyways. But it's just driving me insane. I mean, if he really cared and wanted to win that game, you knew you couldn't throw the ball more than 15 yards. After Winston comes in for that trick play, he should have went up to Peyton and said, listen, keep Jameis in. I can't do it anymore. He's going to give us the best chance to win. I just stand by that. It should have been done. Yep. You're going to be remembered. That's going to be your last game. You couldn't throw the ball. I mean, that's sad. It's sad.
Would you rather?
Way to go. It's definitely not the way to go for him.
Would you rather have Breeze's last game or Dan Marino's last game where you lose like 63-3 to the Jaguars?
Oh, man, I forgot about that was his last game.
Was that in the playoffs, though, Marino?
I think so. I could be wrong.
I'm not sure.
They both, I think, had like 10 or 11 wins. I mean, I'm like I'm digging real deep because I'm like 4 years old for that, but –
Right. I mean, I guess I'd rather go out as Breeze in the playoffs, but I mean, 60-3 is your last game. That's a tough one to remember, too.
It's definitely not ideal.
No. Yeah.
No, it was not. Well, Chris, do you want to obviously want to allow you an opportunity as well to plug your show once again before we wrap it up?
Yeah, sure. You could catch me on sportsmapradio.com Wednesday nights, the Diehards, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, with my co-host Anthony Pepe. We have great guests on every single week. We're talking gambling, we're talking football, we're talking hoops. We're diving into, now that NFL season's dying down, we're diving into college, NBA. We'll be talking MLB, and then we'll be previewing football again. Hopefully the summertime comes soon and we're back talking football soon. So, yeah.
We got the draft, you know, we have all the movement, you know, we'll be right back in the thick of it.
We try and walk away. They space it out just perfectly to where they just suck you right back in. And you're like, no. Yeah. We got you wrapped around our fingers too tight for you to slip away. Oh, I love it. Well, Chris, thanks again so much for being on here, man.
Boys, loved it, and looking forward to next year to doing a couple. And Scott, let's get you on Sports Map on the Diehards the week of the Super Bowl.
Heck yeah!
All right.
Boom.
Cool.
We'll make sure we're tweeting that out.
Pencil that in, and we'll preview the Super Bowl with you.
Awesome. That'd be great.
Cool.
Love it, Scotty. Well, Scott, any closing thoughts from you?
Well, I'm really excited for, the football games on Sunday. I'm pumped that the start of the second game lends me enough time to get still a good night's sleep. So it's going to be a fantastic weekend. I just got to decide what type of pizza to order on Sunday.
There we go. I love it. Well, junkies, thank you so much for tuning in. For myself, Scott, and our guest, Chris, thank you so much for tuning in. Means a lot to us. It's crazy. This season's almost over, but please continue to rate, review, subscribe the podcast on iTunes or wherever you may be listening. And follow along with us on Twitter. Tweet at us what your picks are for this weekend. We'd love to hear it. Closing thought for me, Joaquin Phoenix. Phenomenal job in Gladiator as well. Super creepy. Super creepy. We're out of here, junkies.
Dirty nil, fuck art. Listen to it.
Good luck with your bets. Suck the tape.